A lovely day. It is Friday Eve. Oh, the skies could open any moment now with torrential downpours. That's what we're looking at right now, right? Possibility of some major thunderstorms. Certainly throughout the next couple of hours that you and I are spending together, and the evening and the overnight and into tomorrow. So just a heads up, be aware of it. Did you know today was National Radio Day? Yeah, neither. I mean, I have worked in the goofy radio business now for 34 years. And even I was blissfully unaware that today was National Radio Day. And then I found out about it and I thought, well, what am I supposed to do for National Radio Day? Do I turn on the radio? Well, I could do that. I suppose I could sit down and talk on the radio. Oh, I'm doing that right now. What else could you do for National Radio Day? No, really, I'm stumped. I don't know. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Between 3 and 6, there is this here little radio show that I do. And you're kind enough to listen, which I really do appreciate. American Express appreciates it as well. So what do you do for National Radio Day? Well, you start thinking about radio, or at least I did. Now, when I was a little kid listening to radio, radio was something. I mean, radio was amazing. I'd love to tell you that radio is as great today as it was then, but then I'd be lying to you, and you know I don't do that, so I won't do that. But as a kid, growing up in Philadelphia, and every community had a similar situation, but growing up in Philadelphia, we had some amazingly talented radio people. And many of them were actually found over on the music side of things, but the only reason they were interesting and entertaining even then in the music side of things, because they were really doing talk radio. We just didn't have a name for it. And some of those folks who were really talented got in trouble for talking too much. And I'll just tell you flat out that in the last 25, 30 years, I guess, music radio, it's gone. No, it really has. It's gone because the whole mindset shifted. Instead of having people programming music radio stations saying, listen, the community really cares about you. They want to know about you. The mindset, the mantra became shut up and play the music. So that's what happened. People just shut up and played the music. And people say, well, hey, you know, this is great. I can listen to all the music I like, and I don't have to hear from some annoying person telling me about what it is that they think is important, even though I kind of think that what they think is important, and I kind of think that what they think is important to me as well as to them. But look, they're just shutting up and playing the music. So, hey, that's cool. And so what happened? Well, many of those people just lost their jobs. They went into whatever it is they went into, but they got out of radio. And many of them transitioned. No, I don't mean they're going to be like the starting point guard for the WNBA All-Star team. Not transition like that. No. No, they transitioned from music to talk. And in talk, they were told, hey, shut up and talk. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Don't play music, just talk. Now, for a lot of these guys, that was exactly what they wanted to hear. One of those people was Rush Limbaugh. Right? Rush Limbaugh was playing stupid music. And he realized what a vacuous, useless sort of thing it was. And he said, I got this talent. It's on loan from God, you know. And I ought to be able to tell people what I think, and I can do it in an entertaining way. And because I've been constrained by music radio for so many years, I know how to make a point in 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, tops. Well, heck yeah. I'm going to do this thing. There wasn't even a name for it. It wasn't known as talk radio. And prior to Rush coming into this arena, there was, quote, talk radio. That we didn't know what it was called, but that's what it was. But it was really bad talk radio. I mean, really bad talk radio. Useless, almost as useless as the music. But it didn't even have the music. That's how bad that talk radio was. And then Rush came along and said, you know, I think people are far smarter than we give them credit for. And I think I can talk about important things. I think we can make a go of this. And the guy who had the real belief in Rush was a guy by the name of Ed McLaughlin. And Rush came along, and Ed McLaughlin said, yeah, there's something in this kid. And they worked together. And long story short, you and I now know what talk radio is. And many of us would say what talk radio is supposed to be. We know how important it is. You want to tell me about some of your favorite talk radio people? Because to me, that is the most appropriate thing for us to discuss when it comes to National Radio Day. I can't tell you about the technology, because there's a million people who are telling you the technology is antiquated. I don't believe that, by the way. I really don't. I don't think that's true. I think it's evolving. I think it's changing. Just like every piece of technology has evolved and changed. There are different ways that people consume media. Just like we don't actually chisel into big pieces of slate, we transition to printing presses, and then we transition to the wireless, and then it was this, and then it was that, now we deliver it this way. But people are still being provided with content. That's the other thing. We've all changed our monikers. We produce content. We're content providers. We're influencers. I got news for you, gang. That's what talk radio has always been. We've always provided content, and we are the OG of influencers. So nothing new under the sun. That, by the way, that phrase right there, Germ, you may want to write that one down. Write it. No, seriously, write it down. Nothing new under the sun. That is in a book. I read it in a book. Some famous book. And I think it was a bestseller, as I recall. But yeah, some famous book said, nothing new under the sun. But who, for you, the best talk radio people? For you, who was or is the best talk radio person? That's what I'm curious to know. Now, I know in my own personal mind who it is that I've always enjoyed listening to. Now, I also have a list of people I wouldn't listen to. If the choice were listen to them or put needles in your eyes, I would gladly reach for the needles. So, I mean, I got a list on both sides, but I'm only going to share the positive list because, you know, I'm like a ray of sunshine in your otherwise dull and dreary life. Who is your, you can say favorite if you want. I don't know if favorite is exactly the word I want to use, but something analogous to that, I suppose. If you have the opportunity, or you had the opportunity, because, again, in the case of Rush, obviously, no new content, kids. Rush has been gone for 5 years. And we've had a whole slew of people step up and go, oh, I can take his place. I can take his place. I can take his place. And you know what each of them proved? You can't really take his place. You just can't. And none of them have come even close to it. And many of them are dear friends, and I love them almost as much as life itself, but they have not taken Rush's place. Nobody's going to replace Rush. Nobody ever will replace Rush. Absolutely irreplaceable. But hit me up with some folks. I go back to a day when I listened to somebody named Joey Reynolds. Anybody know Joey Reynolds? Joey Reynolds likes to joke that he did a national show, but he did it one city at a time because he traveled all over the country. And he was invariably getting fired from one station and then fired by another station and then fired by another station. Generally speaking, because he was talking instead of playing some insipid music that he was supposed to play. Joey was an incredibly talented guy. Joey apologized to me many years ago for it, getting me into radio. I'll tell you that story in a moment. But who else? I listened to him. I listened to Dr. Don Rose, an amazing talent. Again, though, he was on the music side of things. And he would talk, and he would get in trouble for talking. Because he wasn't playing some stupid piece of music. Who else? What about for you? Anybody? Is it more traditional for you? Would you say, well, Jeff, Glenn Beck, obviously. Well, I'm right there with you. absolutely right there with you. One of the best broadcasters in the history of radio. Right up there with Rush Limbaugh. Who else? You put Hannity on your list? You might. Sean Hannity was an interesting guy. Very, very interesting creation, if you will. But there were some really good radio folks that came through Richmond, right? Give me some of your favorites. And I know they don't just have to be from Richmond, because we have so many people like me who, even though I've been here for 14 years, I did come from elsewhere. Who else you got on your list? Hit me up now on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. It is National Radio Day. No, you don't win any prizes for National Radio Day. I suppose I could reach deep into my pocket and pull out a piece of lint, but that would be about it. I got my little inhaler. Yeah, you don't want that. Okay. Well, then in that case, yes, there's nothing in my pocket that you could win for National Radio Day. But do me a favor and hit me up. James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. We'll talk about National Radio Day. We'll talk about who it was that you enjoyed. Who do you enjoy now? I mean, maybe there is somebody you enjoy now. I sure hope so. At least in the afternoons. It is 316. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 320, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Lots of folks jumping on the Paul Harvey train. Yeah, I'm totally with you. I am absolutely, positively with you. Yeah. Yep. I have always been a Paul Harvey fan. Now you know the rest of the story. Good day. Not a, quote, talk show host per se. That's what a number of people say. But you know what? Here's another goofy, silly, stupid, inane, or totally up-to-date, responsible, you pick the adjective you'd like, portion of talk radio. We don't even call talk radio now. Everybody calls it spoken word. Why? I don't really know. But that's, you know, every couple of years we change everything, I guess. But that means it covers Paul Harvey. He was speaking words. Yeah, I would absolutely put Paul Harvey into the world of talk radio. The Joy Boys from D.C. Huh. I don't know the Joy Boys. Interesting. Ed Walker and Willard Scott. That Willard Scott? The Willard Scott who was the weatherman? Well, maybe. How about Jesse Waters? Does Jesse Waters do a talk radio show? I don't think so. 540, Jeff, as a young teen, I found Tom Likas on late night radio. Absolute filth, but I was hooked. Of course, Art Bell, Coast to Coast, will always be a staple. Yeah. Well, I worked with Likas, and, well, I'll just leave it at that. Jeff, I got so many Likas stories, and none of them are suitable for airing on this or any other radio station. But yes, they will all be in the book. I promise you that. Oh, man, I got chapters like you like you would not believe. Jeff, I live in Roanoke, and this may be controversial, but I discovered you via Dana Lash. I don't know how that happened, but okay. Interesting. Jeff, I love listening to Clay and Buck from noon to 3. 804, Jeff, I miss John Reed, but he's certainly not going to get back into talk radio. No, he's not getting back into talk radio, I don't think. 804, Jeff, where is John Reed now? Is he still living here in Virginia? What is he doing as far as work? John has his podcast that he does, and he does that like from noon to 2 each and every day in that general area. I mean, he's been on here. He's very active in the political world. That is really what it is that he is all about. And I think he's doing a good job with that. Paul Harvey again, G. Gordon Liddy. Yeah, all right. Jeff, I enjoy your show. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. 804, I always loved the Lee brothers. Oh, you know, when I got here, they did like an hour or two, those guys, on Saturday mornings, and then they got bounced. Our program director said no, no mas, and got rid of them. And one of them passed away, I think. 207. Ooh, somebody check in. Must have lived in Maine at some point. Howie Carr in Boston. Absolutely. Howie is part of the gold standard. That's true. Ken Hamblin, sure. Rush is still number one, but also I've always enjoyed Mary Walter. Yeah, Mary's another one who did it for a while and then not doing it. So every once in a while she'll pop up pinch hitting for somebody. Let's see. Jeff out in Goochland says, hey, Jeff, my grandpa had me listening to Paul Harvey way back in the 1970s. Good. 804, Jeff, in the 1990s, late night talk radio and WRVA. Nice. John from New Kent says, my favorite talk show hosts, Rush, Glenn Beck, Jeff Katz, John Reed. Well, thank you. Jeff, 804, says, since Rush's death, we're actually headed back to bad talk radio. Maybe. John says, Jeff, you're the only one left on WRVA worth listening to. Well, that's very kind. I don't think that's true, but that's very kind. We'll talk more about it. And yeah, I will probably share one or two or maybe three of the obscure talk radio stories as we are, I suppose, celebrating or just enduring National Radio Day. We have got Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, joining us at 3:35. I guarantee you he is going to weigh in on the idea of National Radio Day. That'll be a good deal of fun. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I'm just going to weigh in on this very quickly. Now, I love Publix, but what was just reported there by Sarah Huffman could be three of the dumbest stories I've heard in the last year. Not because of Sarah, but because of Publix. Well, we're going to have an express lane, but you can have 10,000 items. Explain to me, seriously, riddle me this, Publixmeisters. How am I supposed to utilize a, quote, express lane in an express fashion if there's no limitation on the number of items that the folks in front of me can put up on the conveyor belt? That's not an express. The whole point of express is that there's a limit. You know why? So that people move quickly through the line. If you're only allowed to have 10 items and you have 80 items, you're not allowed in the express lane. Now, I know there's math involved here, and I'm not a math person, but I'm just telling you flat out, if all of a sudden everybody can have any damn number of items they want, it's no longer an express lane, it's just a lane. Or we're just changing the signs, Jeff. We're not going to have a limit, but there's still going to be express lanes. Okay, well, you know what? Then I am going to walk around with my own sign that says, buy one, get one free. And I'm just going to put it on the shelf where I want to buy one and get one free. You can't do that. Sure I can. I mean, if you're just pulling crap out of your ass, I mean, your ear, and saying it's an express lane, but there's no limits, then I'm here to say this stuff is on sale because I said so. That is just so flipping stupid. And again, I love Publix. As far as big supermarket chains go, I mean, look, I'm a Tom Leonard's guy. I was Stu Leonard's guy when I lived up north. But aside from that, I'm telling you, for the big chains, I'm a Publix guy. I think that's the Floridian in us. That's just absurd. Anyway, hey, very happy National Radio Day for what that's worth. You know, Brian Maloney is an amazingly talented radio broadcaster, amongst other things. And I'll bet you even Brian, who knows everything about everything, had forgotten that today was National Radio Day, because I know I sure had. Brian, welcome, my friend.
Yeah, it's national. You're really lucky if you're still working in radio day.
Well, even that's subject to interpretation sometimes, you know what I mean? Brian, I want to talk about all the things that are important to talk about. But before we get to that, We have spent a couple of moments here with people sharing some of their own personal favorites, some of their own personal memories in the arena of talk radio. I mentioned you along with the other greats. Who would you, as you talk about your history and you look at your adventures in radio, who are some of the folks you always enjoyed?
Oh, you mean to work with or to...
Because we both know that the list of people that were enjoyable to work with is somewhere between zero and zero. No, I mean listen to, just listen to.
Well, I did enjoy, every time I was at a news station, I would make friends with the curmudgeonly news anchor, you know, who'd usually been there for 50 years or whatever, because there was one at every station. That guy always knew everything about the new community I was moving into.
Yes.
Some of these guys were just so colorful. Yes. And when I went to Reno, Nevada, this guy, Dick DeWitt, he had been the anchor for a million years. He was from the Midwest, but he came after the Korean War. He ended up in Reno, Nevada somehow. He was a TV anchor, but then he was a radio guy, and he was crazy. The guy was nuts, and he would do things on the air just to generate complaint calls. Like he would purposely mispronounce the various town names. just so that the boss would have to fend off all the angry calls.
Oh, I love it.
He would just do things to rattle people, you know. He didn't care. The guy just did not care. So I did have fun working with those kind of guys.
Okay.
But I don't think they exist anymore.
No, you know, look, our news director, Charles Pyle, you hear his newscast as we're introducing you. Very talented guy, great reporter. He does know where all the bodies are buried and who put them there. But he's not a cranky, curmudgeonly sort of a guy. He's like a lovable little fuzzball, so he doesn't make your list either.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. All right. Brian Maloney, Media Equalizer. Let's talk about what is or is not happening with these upcoming elections. You and I are on the same side of, I think, everything. So are you feeling hopeful at all about these midterms?
Yeah, I'm feeling fine because, you know, I keep every day there's some new poll that shows, you know, we're this many points behind or whatever. But the polls have been extremely inaccurate this year so far, as we've seen those upper Midwest races where, you know, this Democrat or that Democrat was ahead by 22 points, and then on election night they lose. You know, it's the polls have been trash.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, normally this would be a year where we'd be in pretty big trouble.
Yeah.
You know, just by historical standards, you know, when you're the incumbent president, you usually lose seats in the midterm. That's been going on for 100 years.
Yes.
I think the Democrats are scaring the pants off of people with some of the candidates they put forward, and all of this socialism, you know, communism, DSA stuff is scaring people. So I think, you know, a lot of it is their own party is in this internal disarray, and it's helping us. So I hate to make excuses for the Republicans in Congress, who I don't think are doing anything to win these elections at all. And I'm very frustrated and angered, but you know, it's the same old rhinos that we have to deal with every time.
Yep.
You know, they're not really trying to win this election. I think they're trying to throw it. You know, they don't really like being in power. You know, they like being in the minority. It's easier. They're lazy, you know, but they don't advocate anything.
Right.
But we do have some good candidates running in these various states. So that's what I'm rooting for. Not the clowns that are in the Senate that are pretending Mitch McConnell's still alive. You know, not that. It's these people out there who are pounding the pavement.
Yeah.
Tell
me what you're looking at. So I just came back. I was in Florida for a week, and I am... you know, it's the land of my people, Brian. I am destined to go there at some point. So I look at it.
You mean you're not coming back up to New England?
Oh, good Lord, man. I love you more than life itself, but no.
I wouldn't recommend anyone moving up here ever.
No. No, 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 no. Ain't going to happen. No. But I look at Byron Donalds, who to me seems to be a pretty solid guy. I look at some of the other folks throughout the state of Florida. I look at some of the pickups that are going to happen with the Republicans. And then I look at the assorted clowns on the Democrat side. And I'm thinking those Democrats have either helped Republicans greatly or, well, I don't know. I think they've just helped Republicans greatly. Is that the right analysis there with these socialists?
Well, that, and we got rid of a lot of riffraff in the primaries this year, not only in Florida, but in other states, you know, in Texas and Louisiana. We got rid of a lot of dead weight in the primaries. You know, people were paying attention. So we've got a stronger candidate roster. The other thing is Florida, you know, say what you want about Ron DeSantis, but he cleaned up Florida. I mean, he really cleaned up that state politically. Did you notice how they had all the ballots count Tuesday night? You know, I mean, you had all the results in a couple hours, right?
Yep.
And you had 99% counted within about 3 hours. No nonsense in Florida at all. Nothing like California counting for 6 weeks.
That's right.
None of that.
That's right. That's exactly
I mean,
right.
You got to look at that and say, you know what? I mean, it can be done. Florida's a big state.
Yeah.
How come they can count it all in 3 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, they did a great job, and it is fascinating to see what's happening there. What about some of the other races we should be looking at? You know, here in Virginia, I hate to say it, but the reality is there's a lack of enthusiasm on the part of many Republicans. I just heard about a very big Republican event, or it should have been a very big Republican event, that got canceled because they said, you know what, nobody is even interested in getting a ticket to come to this. And I thought, man, that says a lot.
Well, that's really sad. I mean, you know, that's how you get spam burger.
Yep.
And that's how you keep creatures like her in power.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you do it, is through apathy and not voting and not going to events. And you got a chance to get rid of Senator Warner with a great Republican candidate.
Yep.
You know, and people should be working at it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I guess I know the Democrats try to discourage everybody, but you got to go out there and fight anyway.
Exactly.
You really do.
Yep.
So, but yeah, in terms of candidates, I mean, we've got great candidates. I mean, we've got great candidates all over. I mean, you know, even in California, you get Steve Hilton, who I think should be, you know, running a lot harder, running a lot more aggressively. But, I mean, he's running against a you know, Obama-Biden era nightmare, this Javier Becerra idiot.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, we've got great people in a lot of places. And we got rid of a lot of, you know, we got rid of John Cornyn.
Yep.
You got rid of Senator Cassidy.
Yep.
You got rid of Senator Tom Tillis. I mean, we got, you know, it's one of the more productive primary years I can remember ever.
Interesting.
We got rid of some dead weight in Florida Tuesday.
Oh,
you know, we ended up with stronger candidates. People chose well.
Yeah.
You can really feel good about who we're running this year. Really can. So,
okay.
I mean, I don't, you know, so I guess I'm not feeling, I'm not letting these polls.
Good.
One poll I saw, well, I was on News Nation this morning and they were asking me about that. Yeah. Is this what you're referring to? This generic ballot, congressional ballot that shows Democrats like 9 points ahead. Is that what you were talking about?
Only 9 points? I thought it was 90 points. Did I?
90. I forgot. 90.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, those never matter anyway, because the generic isn't what's on your ballot. You know, what's on your ballot is your member of Congress. I mean, that's number one. The other thing the other component of that poll, though, that I found interesting is that Marco Rubio is running ahead of J.D. Vance in the next presidential contest in terms of who we might nominate.
Right.
I found that really interesting. I think that might be true. So I realize that's not what's in front of us in 2 months.
Yeah.
But, you know, the day the midterm elections are over in November, the next day, we're on to the presidential stuff,
that's
basically.
Right. You're absolutely right. And there's You know, I love the president, President Trump, but the reality, you and I both know, we've been around the block a time or two. There is nobody more of a lame duck than a lame duck president in his second term after those midterms. That's it, man. People aren't going to show up at the White House for parties and be like, I got to go update my LinkedIn. You know, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true. So, but the bottom line is, you know, Republicans have a big decision to make. And that, to me, I think Marco Rubio has been the star. I really do. I think Marco has been the leader. He has really shown that he can handle all the big stuff. And I think people realize that, you know, these memes that you see with Marco wearing a different uniform or hat, you know, every time something happens and... You know, I mean, there's a lot there that's true. So, to me, I hope Marco runs. I just don't think J.D. Vance has shown the maturity needed.
Yes.
And I don't think he's hung out with the kind of crowd that a future president should hang around with. You know,
I
don't think you should be hanging around with Tucker Carlson. I don't think you should be. I don't think you should be palling around with him.
No. I agree with you completely. Brian Maloney, the Media Equalizer, I appreciate you being here. Brian joins us every Friday Eve, all sorts of great stuff, and it was really wonderful to get his perspective. We'll talk more about how you happen to be feeling regarding the midterms. We are being told consistently now, if you're a Republican, you're a conservative, blah, 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 just hang your head. It's all over for you. It's done. It's done. Democrats are taking everything. They're going to take your mouthwash, and hey, that's it, that's it, that's it. I got news for you. I happen to believe that it's not over, although if you are part of the President Trump team, you're already starting to see some folks exit the White House, because it's what happens 2 years in with any presidential administration, but especially the second term. People start leaving. So I think we're going to see some changes. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Friday Eve, and at least here in the center of the universe, still bright sunshine. I'm hoping it's that way for you as well, but just a heads up. It is looking more and more and more and more and more likely that before you and I part company at 1800, we'll have some torrential downpours. Now, it looks like they're going to be with us through the evening, the overnight, into tomorrow. Yes, it is National Radio Day, and I had no idea that there were as many people who wanted to vent their spleen on the topic of National Radio Day, but I just want to share a couple of other texts that have come in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, talking about National Radio Day. Hey, Germ, do me a favor, would you please save me a piece of the cake? Because we had a cake, right? Did we not have like a big giant cake for National Radio Day at the Radio Factory? Must have been. Must have been like a big, probably shaped like a microphone or something, or maybe shaped like a radio. Well, look in the kitchen, open the fridge, because there's just save me a piece is all I'm asking. That's all. We do need to celebrate National Radio Day, and a cake would seem appropriate, right? Or sandwiches, refreshments. I got another idea. Why don't How about this? How about if we all just go bowling? And not like, you know, bowling for skinheads or skinhead bowling or whatever that song was that Heidi loves. No, I mean like just regular bowling. That would be a fun, Anyway, let me take a look here at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Now, I love the fact that there are folks jumping in. You know, the beautiful thing about Central Virginia, as far as I'm concerned, and granted, I've been here a long time, but we've got so many of us who are from elsewhere, right? We've got come here's and from here's, and it doesn't matter how long ago you came here, you're still, you know what I'm saying. But there are some folks weighing in with some amazing names, and I guarantee you some of these are going to be resonating with you. Taking a look at 6681 says, Jeff, Jim Quinn and Rose Tennant and Fred Hornsberger in Pittsburgh, some of the finest talk radio people ever. You are absolutely Correct. Roxana says, Jeff, I miss Rush Limbaugh. I would love to hear his thoughts on today's events. I love you, Jeff. I miss John Reed so much. Unlike some WRBA folks, I like Dana and I like Scott Lee. Keep up the good work. Roxana. All right. Well, thank you, Roxana. I will do my best. 804 says, Jeff, how about John Batchelor? Excellent. Excellent talent. And Bob Grant, get off my phone. It's a sick world out there. And it's just getting sicker. That was my first big national exposure, by the way, filling in for the late, great Bob Grant. He used to have a national show on Westwood One. That was a huge, huge thing at the time. And, I got to pinch hit for him, and it was great, great fun. 804, David in Midlothian says, how about Dick Whittington, mostly in the 60s and 70s in the Los Angeles area, although he was born in Philadelphia. A lot of people considered him a pre-Howard Stern Howard Stern. You know, it's interesting because as much as people either loved or despised Stern, Stern did talk radio. Now, Stern doesn't do anything at this point, right? He's dialed it back to, I think, 12 minutes every week is his work schedule, which is not bad. If you can get it, take it. But he was also doing talk radio, a very different type of talk radio. Some would argue a pretty disgusting type of talk radio, but it was still talk radio. I put all these guys on the list. I really do. 804, Jeff, WRBA's had some of the best, from Alden Arrow to Doc Thompson to Jimmy Barrett, Tim Timberlane, you, John Reed, all you guys have been great. Also, Glenn Beck, I hate to not hear him on 1140 anymore, all right? John says, Jeff, back in the 60s, early 70s, there was a great rock station on the Big Lee that many of us listened to. Yeah. Again, there was a time when that radio umbrella encompassed so much. And today, I don't know. I mean, I love radio. I still love radio. I really do. I love what you're capable of doing with it. I love it when it's used properly. I love truly talented people. You know what I found throughout the years? Your degree of talent is in inverse proportion to your ego. The guys with the biggest egos are the ones that have the least amount of talent. The ones that are telling you how great they are the ones that, well, they got to tell somebody. Sex talk with Ruth. Dr. Ruth! Ah! That was talk, again, at a time when you did not have conversations about this sort of stuff, period, let alone with somebody's bubby in New York City. But sex talk with Dr. Ruth. I didn't even know in this day and age, 2026, if I could say the things that Dr. Ruth said back then. Maybe I could, maybe I couldn't. I don't know. It's weird. 804, Jeff, Brian Kilmeade. Yeah, Kilmeade's a good dude. 804, Jeff, we're all listening to you, so hats off to you, my friend. Well, thank you. This was not actually a way to troll for compliments, but, you know, I'm not above trolling for compliments, so thank you. 804 says, Jeff, I go back to Long John Neville, WOR in New York City, as a teen staying up way too late. FYI, I am still listening on an actual radio, not the interwebs. Isn't that cool? How many of us still listen on actual radios? Again, people get so hung up on, what do we call this? How do we say it? How do we describe this? Is it, we were calling it National Radio Day, Jeff, but it's this or that. Listen, it is what it always has been. It's about providing information, conversation, content, right? That's the buzzword, content. Jan and Ashley says, Jeff, I loved Alden Arrow, Millard the Mallard, my old friend Tim Timberlake. I only listen to WRBA. I never turn it off on the weekdays. Okay. What are you going away on the weekends? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you were trying to say, Jan? Because that's how I took it. No, I'm not offended on the weekends, but, you know, somebody might be. Big John Trimble, all-night truck driver show. Very cool. Remember the truck and Bozo? That was the guy out of Cincinnati. Great job. Gotta love Sean Hannity. Okay, yeah. Number of good things. All right, some stupid stuff about hating on Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. 804, Jeff, that Publix thing is about as dumb as somebody with a vagina saying they're a boy. Yes, if you had not heard yet, great reporting, was part of the newscast with our dear friend, our news director, best news director at News Radio WRBA in the 14 years I've been here, Charles Pyle. Sarah Huffman did the story. Great job of reporting it. But what she's reporting is like six different types of stupid. Maybe seven if we're grading on a curve. Publix, a supermarket chain that, if we're talking about big, gigantic supermarket chains, that's my favorite. If we're talking about not quite as big, then obviously Tom Leonard, because Tom's a friend and his store is fantastic and TJ is a buddy. But of the big, big, bigs, Publix is my place. So Publix says, we're going to eliminate the item limit on the express lanes, but there's still going to be the express lanes. That doesn't work. It's like saying, this is the express train from Richmond to Boston. Okay. Now, what that means is we'll stop in Washington, D.C., we'll stop in Philadelphia, and we'll stop in New York, and then we'll stop in Boston. It's an express train. We go by the other stations. If, in fact, it's a local train that stops at every single solitary station, you can call it an express train, but it's not an express train. So, Publix, you can call it an express lane, but it's not. It just isn't. Oh, somebody's saying Michael Savage. Well, 916, when we come back, and we will momentarily, Germ, do not let me forget this. I will share one or two stories of Dr. Wiener, because that's his real name, Michael Wiener. I had the, well, I worked with the good Dr. Wiener, and I'll let you know a thing or two about him. We'll do that. We'll do that in a couple of moments. Rob Chadwick is going to be along. Rob, of course, retired FBI supervisory special agent. Now the principal training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association Delta Defense. There's some dangerous things that have been in the news recently. State fairs, things of that sort that just went sideways real fast. We'll get some advice from Rob Chadwick on how to stay safe in those situations. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. Just rolling in here on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Steve the Painter says, Jeff, I was one of those music guys. Then I found Howard. That led to Rush, which led to you. Ooh, see? A nice, like, yellow brick road. I like that. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that, and I do appreciate you listening. Kristen from Ashland says, Jeff, I think you are a great radio show host. Well, Kristen, I think you are a great radio texter. You make me and my family laugh at your quick jokes. If only I had something funny to say there, that would be good. Big John Trimble, late night on WRVA. Jeff, I listen on AM. I am old school. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Jeff, how about WABC in New York? Wolfman Jack. Wolfman Jack was an amazing talent. And he was actually doing talk radio, even though he was doing music radio. And for the record, since it's Wolfman Jack, he was a great guest on my talk radio program. No, he's a really, really funny guy. Super, super funny guy. Jeff, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Dennis Miller. I also enjoyed that that trio. I think that Dennis Miller was really a very talented radio guy. Wasn't really his initial entree, but he did a great, great job. Jeff, I grew up in New York City. John Gambling, Rambling with Gambling, Howard Stern, Don Imus. Don Imus was one of the worst human beings on the face of the planet. Oh, my God, what a miserable, miserable person. And I can say that, having interacted with him. Also, Michael Wiener. God, you are going to have to buy the book. That's all I'm going to tell you. But I can tell you this, that at the radio station in San Francisco where I worked with Wiener, he thought he had his own studio. Now, he had been told, don't come into the radio factory because, well, frankly, nobody wanted him there and nobody wanted to work near him. And so they, quote, built him a radio station at his house, which back in the day really meant something. Now, you know, you flip a switch, you got a station at your house. But here's the deal. He was convinced that there was an actual studio at the radio station that only he was allowed to use. There was a cardboard sign with Velcro. That studio was used all the time by everybody until such time as the good doctor had his servant. I mean, that seemed to be like his personal assistant, would call ahead and say, Dr. Savage will be in later today, which meant one of us had to go and get that cardboard sign out of the closet and put it up on the Velcro on that door so that he believed that it was still just his studio, even though, again, it was, it was everybody's studio. Very weird. Very weird. 804 says, Jeff, about these express lanes and Publix, I went to the grocery store with my dad after my mom passed away. He always went to the shortest line, and I'd be so embarrassed because he would have an entire cart full, and we'd access lanes. So embarrassed. Sometimes the cashier would catch him, but he did not care. Well, I'm just going to say this, Nanny Jan. He was the problem. You told me, and obviously you already knew. Art Bell and Larry King, Jeff, when he did overnights. Yeah, absolutely. Solid folks. Some good stuff there. All right, we got a lot of other stuff that we have got to talk about. Our good friend Rob Chadwick is going to be along. Retired FBI supervisory special agent, headed up all the tactical training for the Bureau up in Quantico for many, many years. Now the principal training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association Delta Defense. We got some safety tips, if nothing else, from Rob Chadwick. A little insight that everybody needs. Oh, and Tony Pham, former ICE director, will be with us at 5:35. It is 4:27. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Any chance that Publix, as they are engaged in this recall of their blueberries, will they be processing them through the former express lanes that are now just lanes? If you didn't hear that earlier, Publix has announced that they are changing the way express lanes work. Instead of having a limit of, say, 10 items, there will be no limit. Dear Publix, that means it's not an express lane. It's a little bit like Amtrak saying, well, we're stopping at every station, but we swear it's an express train. No, it's not. I'm going to leave that there. This is going to disturb me for a long, long time. Rob Chadwick will probably be able to talk me off the ledge, although I've got to figure that Brother Chadwick is none too happy with that, because I think Rob knows how to count. And, if you have more than 10 items in the express lane, it's not an express lane, and terrible things could happen. Rob, I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Jeff, it's always great to be with you. As long as I can get my public sub out of there as quickly as possible, I'm still happy.
All right. Look at you. Look at you. A master of diplomacy, this Rob Chadwick is. I knew you were a good guy. Let me remind everybody about Rob's background. Retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, headed up all the TAC training for the Bureau up at Quantico. Former Fairfax County police officer, proud son of the old Dominion state, now the primary training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association, Delta Defense. Rob, I got to ask you about the Wisconsin State Fair. There was all sorts of nonsense that happened there. Tell everybody what happened and frankly, how we handle a situation like this.
Jeff, this is a disturbing trend where the latest iteration, unfortunately, was up in the Wisconsin State Fair. I spent a lot of time, it's where the USCCA is based, and, great people, incredible state, very, very similar in many ways to the Commonwealth of Virginia. And, you know, this one happened at the Wisconsin State Fair, where most people love to take their families. There's, you know, it should be a great place to go. And yet, once again, we see the sort of euphemistically referred to teen takeover. And what it was just a violent mob of younger people that just got out of control quickly. And it turned incredibly violent, incredibly chaotic, and overwhelmed almost immediately the law enforcement, uniform law enforcement response that was there. Officers were injured, had to be taken away. Families were injured. People were running for their lives. Gunfire erupted. And we're seeing this, Jeff, more and more and more. They had one not too long ago in Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, it's happening everywhere. And it's being filmed and, of course, glorified on social media. And now these young, you know, people are, you know, aspiring to copy that, right? There's nothing better than a copycat for social media. And so, right. You know, it's all fun and games until people get hurt. And yet there's so little consequences for these things right now that, you know, the real tragedy is most people now say, well, I just won't go there anymore. I won't take my family to, you know, the state fair, the county fair, whatever the public gathering is that could turn chaotic. And the reality is anything, anytime, anywhere could turn chaotic. And, you know, the question is, are you able to spot that development as it's happening, as it's unfolding? And have you made the decision to leave quickly before it all happens?
Great points. I remind everybody, Rob Chadwick is joining us, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, principal training advisor now, U.S. Concealed Carry Association, Delta Defense. Rob, we had something like that in Henrico a couple of months back, one of these teen takeovers. They took over a rather upscale mall in Short Pump, and the worst part about it was that we then had politicians, far left-wing politicians, telling us, oh, that didn't happen. And we sat, I say we, because pretty much everybody in Central Virginia sat and watched the video that was posted by the hooligans themselves as the
Jeff, I'm back. You were talking about what had happened up in Henrico, and my comment was going to be, you know, denial ain't just a river in Africa, right?
That's right.
You know, don't let the facts get in the way of a good narrative. But
that's right.
You're exactly right, Jeff. What we see, these things are happening more and more. And, you know, 10 or 15 years ago when the internet was kind of new and people had smartphones, these flash mobs, and, you know, they'd show up at a mall and do a choreographed dance or something like that.
Yes.
Now it's taken a dark turn, right? Now it is a violent, people are getting beaten. And what we're seeing, unfortunately, is very, very rarely are these perpetrators brought to justice.
Right.
They know they can overwhelm law enforcement, and in many cases, law enforcement are handcuffed, literally handcuffed, and told, all right, just, you know, don't actually arrest these people. And so really it comes down to, what are we going to do? What are you going to do as a person who has maybe your family out at a gathering?
Yeah.
You know, the USCCA you talked about, you know, we obviously a firearms training organization, but really, Jeff, the focus of most of that training, of that self-defense and awareness training, needs to be paying attention to what's going on around you so that you have enough time to make a decision to leave before it ever gets violent. That is the key to safety.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Rob. You talk about law enforcement being handcuffed, Your old stomping grounds of Fairfax. You've got a Commonwealth's attorney there who loves criminals, hates cops. We've got the same thing in Henrico, a Commonwealth's attorney who hates the cops, loves the criminals, doesn't prosecute anybody for anything. So we are left to look out for ourselves. What about the plan? Let's say I do say to Heidi, okay, you, me, the kids, couple of folks, whoever it is, we're going to the fair. What sort of planning do we have to do ahead of time to kind of stay on guard?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jeff. And the first thing is to have just a candid acknowledgement. Hey, guys, we're going out. We're going to have a great time. The likelihood of something bad happening is pretty low, but it could happen, right? The acknowledgement that it could happen. And then the reassurance to the loved ones. Listen, if something happens, we have a plan, and here it is. We are going to meet at, right? And so typically what you want to do is pick a location that, you know, not everybody and their brother is going to pick, right? You don't say, hey, meet at the Eiffel Tower at King's Dominion in case something bad happens.
That's
everyone's
right.
going to pick that, right? That's so something that you can pick out on the skyline that's easy to navigate to in case you get separated, in case things get really crazy. You have to assume that your cell phones aren't going to work. Maybe the signals are jammed or just the network is jammed.
Yep.
But, hey, if we get separated and things break bad, we all know we're going to meet up at, you know, wherever that location is. Everyone acknowledges it, understands it, is capable of getting back to that, and then empower them to say, listen, if there's any question that things are getting a little bit out of control, it's time to go. Not time to stand there and film it, not try to get on YouTube, that sort of thing. Try to get out of there, put time and distance and some sort of barricades, if possible, between you and whatever that developing situation is. Almost certainly it doesn't involve you. Almost certainly you have no idea what level of violence those people are capable of reaching quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what always happens, Jeff. And the tragedy is they never thought it would happen here, never thought it would happen to them, and they waited too late to get out of there.
Yeah. You have obviously very personal experience. You're a tech graduate, as I recall. You dealt with that situation. The same sort of things we see popping up, sadly, on college campuses and high school environments. Somebody's coming in. They're going to do something evil. Some people have thought ahead. Some people have thought, okay, well, in the event things go sideways, there's an exit over this way, and I'm going. If you haven't done that, man, you have consigned yourself in many cases to a very bad spot, I guess is the nicest way that I can say it.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, the behavioral analysis unit right up the road from you at Quantico studies these tragedies, right? And the number one most common denominator amongst those people who have achieved a positive outcome during a crisis is that they had thought about what they would do ahead of time, right? They had come up with a plan, a simple plan. But most importantly, they acknowledged it could happen, and I have a plan to deal with that. Because under a sudden, unexpected, existential crisis, your human brain is simply going to shut down. You're not going to rise to the occasion. You're going to fall back on your training. And if you don't have a training or a plan to fall back on, there is nothing there. And so you mentioned Virginia Tech. I saw it firsthand in Charleston at the attack there. So many of those innocent victims are literally overcome by events. We talk about fight or flight. That third F is always freeze. And that is typically what happens. It's that deer in the headlights, right? They freeze.
Yep.
And so they are left at the mercy of the evildoer.
What do we do in the civilian world? You and I, and you far more than I. I mean, this is what you did at Quantico. You took those agents and you made sure that they were training. And as Colonel Grossman says, as you just said, you don't rise to the occasion. You fall back on that training, what you're already ready to do. But what about for Jeff and Heidi? We're just happy suburban civilians, Rob, and maybe we're going to the fair. Maybe we're going out to dinner. Are we supposed to run drills in the house? What do we do to game plan this?
Jeff, the most important thing and far and away the best investment of your time and resources is mentally. It really is. That's the biggest difference. I had 26 weeks with our trainees at Quantico, but if I only had an hour, it would be devoted to mentally preparing them, putting them in that headspace that, listen, this can happen to me. And what am I going to do about it? The physical training comes later, whether it's weapons proficiency, whatever you want to train, all that is secondary to mental acknowledgement. It could happen. And preparation, what are you going to do about it? Everything else flows from that. You're wasting your time if you haven't acknowledged yourself that this could happen to me realistically.
Yep.
And then I am going to do something about it. I am absolutely committed to doing something, taking some action to protect myself and my family.
That's the first obstacle. Let's not kid ourselves. You have a lot of people who grew up in what they are convinced is essentially Mayberry, right? I mean, nothing bad ever happens here. I'm going to be good. If Rob and Jeff are talking about bad things happen, man, they're just obsessed with this. They're crazy. I'm going to be over here. Those are people setting themselves up to be victims. And
yeah, you know, let me reframe people's thoughts, right? I don't want people to think that, oh, these doom and gloom. I actually have a very positive outlook on life, and I'm very confident because I know from experience that I do have a plan, and I know how much better my chances are because of that plan of achieving a positive outcome in the unlikely event that something catastrophic happens. I've thought about it. Therefore, I have the earned confidence to go forward and enjoy my life.
There you go. Do me a favor, remind everybody about your book, because your book absolutely tackles this right from page one, situational awareness, getting yourself in the right headspace, and I just want more people to read it.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, no, it's the Practical Guide to Personal Security. It's available on Amazon. The landing page for it is practicalsecurityguide.com, and it literally is just, you know, chapter after chapter of hopefully very straightforward lessons on how to think about this, how to have conversations with loved ones about this. There's a chapter in there about taking your kids off to college, getting them prepared for the challenges ahead of them, not to scare them, again, to empower them to enjoy their time away from home under that protective wing, right? That's the tough part for a parent, is you want to have that conversation, you want to have it not to scare the kid, but to really empower them to go explore and learn and you know, push some boundaries, but do it as safely as possible.
I love it. Rob, I always am so grateful to you for making time for us. We'll look forward to chatting again in a week or so. That is the great Rob Chadwick. I remind you, Rob, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, principal training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association. If you carry and you are not a member of USCCA, don't take this the wrong way, but you're a fool. I would urge you, go to the USCCA website, get yourself signed up. I am a longtime member. In fact, I just renewed my membership. Very, very, very happy about that. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. How many items for the express lane? There you go. That's my question. 10 has always been the reasonable number. That is what is in place at supermarkets all over, I dare say, all around the world. I think it's Catherine who said at Food Lion, it's 12. Okay, I'll take 12. All I want to know is a number. I want a number. So when Publix says we're doing away with the number, then you're really doing away with the express lane. That's what you're doing. And you cannot tell me that it remains an express lane if somebody has 80 items. It's not. It's just a lane. Now, if you just want to say, you know what, we're doing away with all express lanes. We're going to have nothing but lanes. Fair enough. At least you're being honest. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but you're being honest about it. You cannot say that this remains an express lane and just do away with the item limit. Now, there's always been that option, right? If you're the only person there, or all the other lanes are taken and there's nobody behind you and you've got 20 items and that cashier says, no, come on over here, I'll take care of you, that's fine. But that's the choice of the cashier. That's the responsibility of the cashier. That's a professional operation. But if you do away with that number, I'm sorry, it's no longer an express lane. I'm still going to patronize Publix for some of the big stuff, but I'm not going to be happy about that. That's all I'm going to say. Tony Pham is going to be with us, former director of ICE, at 5:35. It is 4:57. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and, It's looking a little grim here in the center of the universe. And as you know, here in the center of the universe, it is always bright sunshine and rainbows and ponies and all of that stuff. It's always nice here in Hanover County. And we would love for you to visit. Come, buy some tomatoes, and then leave. I mean, it's not that we don't want you here. We just don't want you staying here. We don't have any room. I'm sorry. We're all filled up. But come, buy tomatoes. It's beautiful. I was chatting with a couple of folks earlier today. You know, I was over at the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia, and I had such a great time. I'm helping out Barry Moore with these things he's doing. It's called what is it called? Oh my gosh, I forgot the name of the show. Oh gosh, that's terrible. BBB meeting, highlight, something. No, it's a great little podcast. It shows the businesses. And I had the chance to chat with some of these great accredited business owners. And what I am absolutely loving is hearing from people who are part of our community, obviously. Again, you have a business, you're an accredited business owner in Central Virginia with the Better Business Bureau, you're good people. You're the people I shop with first. But chatting with people who were from other places who have come to Central Virginia. And one gentleman I was chatting with a little bit earlier came here from Michigan, loves the area. And then I was chatting with a couple of wonderful people, Doug and Gina Brown, who came here about 5-6 years ago from Texas. And you'll hear more about their business. Their business is just off the chain, incredible, nothing but cakes. And they were just so nice, so kind to a discussion. And tomorrow, you and I will deal with the discussion issue. Is it icing or is it frosting? Now, Barry Moore, you know, originally is from Jersey. Barry said, it's icing. It's icing, Jeff. It's icing. Well, I got news for you. Doug and Gina Brown, nothing but cake, said, no, it is frosting. Tomorrow, and not right now, because we got other things we're dealing with, but tomorrow, I do want us to analyze this. It's a little bit like the entire Jimmy Sprinkle debate, which, by the way, would be a wonderful name for a television weatherman. Would it not be Jimmy Sprinkle? It'd be perfect. Or maybe a performance artist of some sort. Jimmy Sprinkle. Jeff 804 says Walmart yesterday had one full service cashier. One! Old people like me have a really hard time navigating the self-service, so I've just given up. It has nothing to do with being old. It has to do with this. I don't work for Walmart, so therefore I don't want to scan my own items. Heidi, however, loves self-checkout because that way she doesn't have to wait for anybody else to do anything. Heidi, as you know, is a far better human being than I am. I admit that readily. I don't have any problem admitting that. That's absolutely, positively true. But I look at it this way. If I am at Walmart, unless I'm wearing one of those goofy blue vests with the yellow sun on it, I don't feel that I have to do the work there. I don't think I should be stocking shelves. I don't think I should be handling checkout. I don't think I should be handling any of that stuff. To me, that's part of the price I'm paying to purchase items at that store. Heidi's argument, and it's a good one, is this. How much is your time worth? Right? How much is your time worth? Now, if you have a job that pays you an hourly rate, you know exactly what your time is worth, right? Jeff, my time is worth exactly $15 an hour because that's what I get paid to do whatever it is that I do. Or it's $100 an hour or whatever it is. So it's pretty easy for you to do the calculus on that. And you can figure out very quickly if the math is mathing or not. Heidi has determined that her time is worth far more and her state of mind because she hates dealing with the cashiers at Walmart. I don't mind, because again, I just don't think it's my job. If you want me to do the self-checkout, and I get you'd like me to do that because that reduces your overhead, you don't have to have as many employees, you're not paying as much in salary or benefits or whatever it is that you do at Walmart, well, then I think I should get a little bite of that apple. I think you should say to me, you can go through the full service lane over there, and that item is a dollar, or you can check it out yourself, it's going to be 88 cents. Okay. I might think about that. If they say, well, it's a dollar in the regular lane, but here in the self-checkout lane, it's 98 cents, I don't think it's worth it. But what if they say 78, 68? What if it becomes almost like surge pricing like you see on Easy Pass? Where they've got more and more people stacked up at the full service cashier lanes. They want to get people through and out as quickly as possible. Maybe the discounts are increased. I think there's all sorts of ways that it can work, and there are all sorts of ways that I could be enticed to do it. But if the price is the same, full service, self-service, I just don't think I'm going to bother. I'm just not. The other thing that bugs me about the self-service, because if I go to Walmart with Heidi, and we do that, sometimes we'll go out and go shopping, do the things we need to do, and gives us a little time, a little more time together, which I like. Because, yeah, I'm kind of sweet on her. Yeah, seriously, I'm just kind of cute. And anyway, she will not allow us to go through the full service. So it's like a mission. It's like a military operation with her. She's got the app on her phone. She's scanning stuff. She's putting it back, blah, blah, blah. But then she gets to the self-checkout thing, and invariably, one of the Walmart staffers comes along and says, oh, I've got to examine, I don't know, six items or something and confirm. And at that point, I don't think you've saved any time. I don't think you've saved any time. MS Now. We haven't had a clip from MS Now in a long time. And you are welcome for that. It's not that we haven't had them. I just haven't gotten to them. But this one, I can't ignore. MS Now, which used to be MSNBC, which was PMSBC or whatever it was. I mean, you know what it is. It's painful. It's painful. So we are going to play some audio. I will give you the advance warning about drinking. And I will also say this. I want to remind you of something. I don't want you to ever forget this. I watch MS Now so that you don't have to. No. It's okay. It's okay. You're welcome. Now, with that, I'm going to ask you to take a sip of your beverage. Whether your beverage is hot or cold is irrelevant. Because as you listen to the nonsense from MS Now, you will be tempted to spit that beverage out, either on your laptop or at your windshield. And either way, I don't want to be responsible for the damage, whether it's to your laptop or causing an accident on the windshield. So, do yourself a favor. All right, nice refreshing sip of a hazelnut-flavored coffee. And with that, Germ, if we could please cut number one.
Well, Peter, there is a skittishness here on the ground in Florida. I just got off the phone with a Democratic strategist here in the state who reminded me that the general election electorate versus the primary electorate is very different here in Florida. In Florida, you've got about 1.5 million more registered Republicans than Democrats. You also have about 1.6 million members of the Cuban diaspora. Those Cubans often lean conservative. Many of them have a strong aversion towards communism. What we've been hearing from Republican politicians, from President Trump on down, is a conflation, an incorrect conflation, of communism and democratic socialism. If that messaging sticks, that could be a serious issue for Angie Nick.
Really? Is that the serious issue, MS Now hack? Let me explain this to you, Scooter. You know why the Cuban community doesn't want to vote for communists? Because they've seen what communism does. You pinhead, you. Channeling my inner Archie Bunker. By a show of hands, anybody remember Archie? Yes, exactly. Think about this for a second. MS Now, which is a tool of the left, granted, I mean, you know, everybody's got their lane. They stay in their lane. They're parroting all of the communist baloney all the time. They're upset. They're upset that the Cuban community has a memory. They're upset that Cuban Americans have an understanding of what communism really does. And they understand that you can call it democratic socialism because they saw that nonsense in Cuba. These are the same idiots who threw essentially a birthday party for the 100th birthday of Fidel Castro, a mass murderer.
Well, people just don't understand.
No, the problem for you guys is that they do understand. The most conservative of those folks in the Cuban diaspora, as you described it, are the first generation. Now, they're in their 80s at this point, but they actually fled Cuba. They fled Cuba. They saw it firsthand. Almost as conservative would be folks like my friend Jason Meares, second generation. Jason's what, in his 40s, I guess? Maybe a little older, maybe a little younger. Marco Rubio, second generation. These are folks who know exactly what communism does, and you can dress it up six ways to Sunday. It's still communism. Only MS Now. Only the far left wing wackadoodles could be upset that there are intelligent thinking people with memories in place. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, if you are spinning a tail and you are trying to serve somebody up a big steaming pile of you know what, you got to hope they don't know exactly what you know what is. But these folks know exactly what you know what is, and that's why they're not voting for you. You know what? 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Taking a look at our James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, my time is worth $30 an hour. That means I should get about $5 off for checking myself out. Okay, sounds good to me. That would be my rule. If you want me to handle the checkout, I want a discount. If I'm doing the work that you would ordinarily be paying somebody to do, yeah, I want some sort of a discount. And if you're not willing to do it, then I'm going to be using the full service, just the way it is. 804 says, Jeff, they just need to hire more people in the grocery stores, period. End of story. I'm short. When I need to get something off the top shelf, I'm roaming all around trying to find someone to help me. Let me suggest to you, go to Tom Leonard's in Short Pump. You will find plenty of people to help you. It's part of the reason, and obviously Tom and Karen have been friends forever and ever, and TJ and Sarah and the rest of everybody. But all of that being said, I'm just telling you, it's a great store, and you will never ever be at a loss to find somebody to help you there. 304 says, complaining about the teenagers, grocery store checkup, debates on frosting versus icing. The Jeff Katz Show wants you off his lawn. Yeah, I do. And I want you to turn that music down. And another... all right, yeah, you know, you're right. I get you. Let me see here. Jeff, one of my peers when I worked in the Pentagon was a Navy hospital corpsman who was born in Cuba. His dad brought him over on a boat, ended up in Florida. He joined the Navy because he was so proud of becoming an American citizen. He actually would cry when there were military ceremonies. Yeah. Well... you sometimes encounter people who cry for the real reasons, and then you encounter people who just cry because, well, I don't know why. The crocodile tears. We were talking about that yesterday, watching Big Brother, that Angela on Big Brother. Good Lord. Cries every time you turn around. And you realize it's just, come on, it's just full of crap. Absolutely full of crap. If you're crying every day and you don't have a prescription for Paxil, you're a phony. That's what I would say. So, yeah. But that guy, born in Cuba, joins the Navy, so happy to be an American citizen, cries at military ceremonies? That I get. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got our old friend Tony Pham. Used to be the director of ICE, of course, was the superintendent out at Virginia Peninsula Regional Jail. Started off working for Sheriff C.T. Woody in the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. An amazing career. And he's got some new numbers on illegal immigration, and they're great numbers. We'll talk about that with Tony. We'll do that at 5:35. It is 5:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. So you be aware of that. The 5th District absolutely is going to be a battleground situation. The 1st District, absolute battleground situation. The 2nd District, battleground. It also carries down to lower level races. I talked to you again about Sheriff of Hanover County. We have a Republican, Sheriff Greg Six, who is the incumbent, and we have a Democrat, really, although he claims to be an independent. Well, The plan, if you will, for the so-called independent is to play the Democrat Party game. And there are going to be a lot of those folks turning out to vote. So this is going to impact everybody, just FYI. All right. Now we've got Tony Pham, I'm happy to say. Tony, thank you for being here.
Jeff, my apologies. The phone was on silent and I didn't hear it.
It happens. No worries. We're happy. We're happy to have you. I just kind of assumed that you were so busy over with your new X handle, playing the social media game. You just didn't have time for your old friends. But okay, you know.
Oh, staff. I thought I'd do something crazy, wild, and wacky and rejoin the social media world after a long hiatus, after being in Washington for so long and being talked about meanly by the left and how I was a traitor to the immigrant community. And I'm welcoming all comments now. So
okay.
Let's roll.
Well, here's one of the comments. We love you, and we'll just leave it at that. So now that you've been back on social media for a week, are you ready to leave it again?
Oh, no, because in my private capacity, or my capacity as a private citizen, I really get to speak my mind at this point, right?
Ooh.
And call out the crazy socialists and the communists and draw some comparisons to what my family fled from Vietnam and how the party has swung that far to the left. And it's not the same Democrat Party that I think you and I had gotten to know in years past.
No, it definitely isn't. It's not. I grew up as a Democrat, and I was a Democrat until I was in my 30s. I make no apologies about that. But it's definitely not the party that I belong to. And so I'm happy to move elsewhere. What is the X handle? We want people going over to follow you.
Oh, it's just at Tony H. Pham. Very original, right? And you'll see it. It's very familiar pictures, and I really want to have an opportunity now again, just being back on social media and really having an engaged conversation. Let's be honest, Jeff. I kind of want to, like you you say you grew up a Democrat. I worked for two Democrat elected officials for the majority of my career, and I brought some great lessons, as you saw, in some of the work that I did in the correctional and law enforcement environment. But as I got to Washington, I saw how things really operated up there and how they were wolf in sheep's clothing, shelling one thing and really doing another. And quite honestly, we watched that with this governor pitching her position as a moderate to get elected. And then all of a sudden, the very first thing she does in the beginning of her administration is swing the hammer and sign off on a lot of left-leaning legislation, like
That's
prohibiting
right.
287G agreements, right? That's
yep.
just ridiculous.
It is. Well, tell me a little bit about some of the numbers. You're a numbers guy. You crunch these border numbers, illegal immigration numbers. What are we looking at here? Are we doing a good job there with ICE?
Oh, when I say, are we doing a good job, Jeff, we are enjoying, let me say this, we are enjoying the results of very strong border security policies that are coming out of Washington. And I'll just say I was proud to have, even for a brief moment during transition, I was proud to be a part of that team that shut down that southwest border. And, as you saw, compared to July of 2024, we're looking at July numbers because CBP typically releases them about a month in arrears. We're witnessing another 90% decrease compared to what it was during July 2024 during President Biden's administration. And that's to be expected because I think the American people back in 2024 provided the president a mandate. They wanted a secure border. They wanted to ensure that their communities were safe. We were looking at some tremendous drops, historical drops. I will tell you, one of the big things is the encounters of unaccompanied minor children being trafficked by the cartels at the southwest border. And that's a pure indicator that because the border's closed, there's no more permitted human trafficking or child exploitation by these cartel members that were allowed to do this in the previous administration. To wit, they lost track of over 300,000 unaccompanied minor children here in the United States. And so I go back to something I mentioned before, which prompted the Department of Homeland Security, ICE issuing the 287G SVI, which is the Safety Verification Initiative to help find unaccompanied minor children. Mm-hmm. What I witness is the department's doing everything they can to help locate these children that were lost and trafficked into the United States. But the numbers indicate for sure that our policies are working. We're expelling a good number of individuals that don't have legal status to be here in this country and level setting the field in order to determine the proper pathways to permit individuals into the United States.
Wow. I love it. Let me remind everybody, Tony Pham is joining us. Tony, by the way, back on X at Tony H. Pham. You should go over there. Give him a follow right now at Tony H. Pham. Well, what do we do after this is my question, Tony. If the cartels know, hey, we can't do what we used to do. There's no more human trafficking. Border Patrol, Customs and Border Protection, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Do we keep doing this? Do we take those human assets and put them somewhere else? How does this play out?
No, I'm looking at, well, a couple of things from the perspective of policies at yeah. AFPI, right? Is advocating for the codification of a lot of these border, strong border policies. Policies are great through executive orders, executive fiat policies are great when you have internal guidance that to actually say go enforce the laws. It's important to have them codified. Now, granted, I will tell you this, and we've witnessed in the previous administration and Biden administration what the law says they never followed, right? Right. And so the law says mandatory detention, and there's internal memos from Mayorkas saying, not so much. And so, you know, but the reality is that, you know, we are a nation of laws, and so policies are, that work should be codified so it exists past administration to the next administration. That's issue one. I think we need to ramp up, again, our interior enforcement. And I know what the polling says, and some, you know, some Americans who take the poll believe that the interior enforcement has been a bit too aggressive. And I just read that most recently, and forgive me for saying I read it on a CNN article.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have to figure out what, you know, what the lies are out there for sure.
Yeah.
But there's got to be the ramped up interior enforcement. And I'm looking at, you know, the immigration court processes, as well as the removal process. And in my mind, from thinking from soup to nuts, I'm thinking about how, you know, how do we present a comprehensive approach from, you know, targeted enforcement, right? Taking a look at the individuals that have criminal records, prioritizing their apprehension, fighting these sanctuary cities to turn them over to us. The fact that we have to actually fight a sitting sheriff like Sheriff Kincaid or Toscano in Fairfax to turn over a child molester is beyond me, but, you know, be that as it may. And then figuring out how do we put them into the pipeline in an efficient manner to have an expedited removal to their country, you know, their host country. And so I think that's the next phase, is developing a, you know, A to Z process that's very efficient, very pragmatic, and removing individuals from the United States that don't have status to be here.
Tony Pham is joining us. Tony has held so many positions throughout the years serving this nation. He talks all the time about giving back. Obviously served as the director of ICE for President Trump. You mentioned AFPI, America First Policy Institute. You're a senior fellow over there. This is your bailiwick. Tony, talk about how this plays out with the midterms. We just heard a news report. You know, the Democrats are pouring huge amounts of money into districts that traditionally would be solidly conservative, solidly Republican. So they are seeing themselves taking control of the House. What happens, God forbid, that occurs?
Well, a couple of things. Let me say, you know, of course, they're going to have to pour millions into districts to rebrand themselves, right?
Yep.
They have a well-known socialist, you know, El Said running for Senate in Michigan.
Yep.
They got Mamdani in New York City. So they have a very prominent movement on the left that is beginning to define their party as a whole. When you have your own sitting senator named Fetterman coming out and openly push back on the radical left nature of their move, march towards the left, that says a lot. And we're witnessing their desires to actually, you know, try to spend and buy their way out of what their true principles and values are, right? And so they're trying to, again, utilize funding to rebrand themselves. But we've all seen it. For the listeners here, we've all seen it. We've seen the governor tried to rebrand herself, or brand herself, let me say, as a moderate female, you know, Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And her actions, you know, her actions say otherwise. And my mom always taught me, you know, your actions speak louder than your words. But I will tell you what would happen is the president's, you know, initiatives will stall. You know, the budget would stall. All of it would stall, because that's all they know how to do is say no. versus trying to figure out how to work, just like back from 2016 to 2020, how to work with the administration to perfect negotiated policies and legislation. Yep. And so we can have a government that works if they stay true and elect the conservative representatives, like you said, Kiggins down there in the second. Mm-hmm. Can't forget our guy Whitman here in the first, right? And John McGuire. We can hold the House, and as we should, so that way the president's, what we gave the president a mandate for back in 2024 can finally come to fruition as we begin to secure this nation. Yes. And that's critically important for voters who are listening, who are typically, what I say, four-year voters that come out for the presidency, to really pay attention to this election, and that every vote's going to matter this time around in November.
No doubt about it. Well, Tony, I always appreciate you being here. I want to remind everybody to return to the world of social media over on X at Tony H. Pham, at Tony H. Pham. Please give him a follow, and you will recognize him because August the 16th, there you are here in Hanover County playing with boomsticks with a former DHS Secretary Chad Wolf. And all I'm going to say, Tony, let the record reflect this, Your Honor. You've got a good friend who lives in Hanover County who himself has a boomstick or two that would have been happy to join you, but, it is what it is.
I will let you know, Jeff, that invitation is about to come out. We will be regathering again in Hanover County. Sheriff Six is fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And those folks in Hanover have got to get it right this November, and they will. I'm 100% positive of it. And you will definitely get that invite when the secretary comes back down.
You are a good man, Tony, and I do appreciate everything you do. And now at the America First Policy Institute, senior fellow there. We'll talk to you again in a week or so. That is the great Tony Pham. Seriously, get over to X, follow him. It's been a long time. He took time off to get away from social media. He's back, hot, heavy, and it's unfiltered at Tony H. Pham. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.